You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colton Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On NBA podcast to get recent news and updates on all the NBA action around the league. It's the best way to be prepared for every single team every day. We're going to talk about a few things on the show here that have to do with Derrick Rose, obviously, because he just dropped 50 points, a career high in his 11th season in the NBA. 50 points, going for a career high. Goodness gracious. He has not stopped. He is not slowing down. He has said he's gunning for that Sixth Man of the Year award. It's good to have a guy who's a veteran on your team also be wanting to go after awards, want to go after accolades, not just want to... You want them to help the new guys, help the young guys on your roster, help add some leadership, some vocal direction for those guys. But it's nice to have a veteran on your team that not only wants to do that, but also he's still trying and setting goals and trying to attain some things like an award like Sixth Man of the Year. I gotta love it. You gotta love it if you're watching these Timberwolves, if you're following them closely. We're gonna talk about Derrick Rose. We're gonna talk about what this victory meant for the Timberwolves, why it's so crucial. But first, let's talk about these jerseys. I know I didn't really get a chance to talk about the jerseys the other day. I know that I didn't get the opportunity to really dive in, but if you were watching the game last night, a game in which the Timberwolves won 128 to 125 over the Jazz, then you will notice that they wore the throwback, the black throwback unis with the trim around the sleeves and down the armpit with the pine tree and the old Timberwolf Timberwolves script across the front. Really, really great jerseys. Really awesome, awesome jerseys. By far, my personal favorite jerseys. Some of the best throwback jerseys you can wear right now, in my opinion. And it fell on Halloween. And I know that lots of people can have these wonderful childhood memories of going out and trick-or-treating on Halloween. I thought it was fitting to go with the throwbacks. I personally, I don't know about you guys, I actually really didn't trick or treat when I was a little kid or dress up. I didn't really like to dress up. I know I'm super boring like that, but also I also didn't really go out trick or treating, so the candy wasn't an incentive to grow up. I don't have those Halloween memories like a lot of people, but what I do have are memories as a kid watching Kevin Garnett in those jerseys. Watching Kevin Garnett win the MVP, watching him go on with Latrell Sprewell, with Sam Cassell, that 2003-2004 Timberwolves team that went to the Western Conference Finals, the unfortunate loss to the Lakers. But I remember those guys wearing that jersey. And for me, it brought back so many good memories of some really fun Timberwolves teams and some really great Timberwolves moments. And it was pretty awesome to see those jerseys back out. I'm really glad they brought them back. And I think they should wear those a lot more, not just because it seems to inspire the best out of Derrick Rose, but I think they should wear those more because it heralds back to one of the few good moments in Timberwolves history, one of the few good flashes for the Timberwolves over a franchise career that has been riddled with with unfortunate happenings and unfortunate moments, those jerseys signify something that is really special for, I think, for Timberwolves faithful and really special for me personally. And so it was good to see those jerseys back. I would love to see them wear those more. All right, enough with the sappy talk. Enough with me talking about my childhood and my memories. Let's get into the 50-point game from Derrick Rose. So if you weren't watching the game, Timberwolves, like I said, 128-125 victory at home over the Utah Jazz, a desperately needed win. But we'll get into that in a second. First of all, I want to properly set the stage for this 50-point game, because I know 11 seasons in the NBA, you can just go and look at the 11 seasons in the NBA, look at how Derrick Rose coming off the bench in a game where – or he was coming off the bench, and now he's starting in a game where not only do you have Jeff Teague out, you have Jimmy Butler out, but you also – in the warm-ups, you have Tyus Jones out for this game because in the warm-ups he gets tweaked. And so now not only do you have Derrick Rose is really your only point guard on the roster, the only viable guy to run the offense through because you've run so much the offense through Jimmy Butler when he's out there, Jeff Teague obviously when he's out there, but also because now your third-string point guard isn't out there. So much responsibility on Rose. He ends up pulling 40 minutes in this game. He has 6 assists, 4 rebounds, goes 4 of 7 from the 3-point line. Timberwolves shot 48% from deep in this one, 12 of 25. They did a really good job playing balanced basketball. They sped up the pace, 15 fast break points to Utah Jazz's 8. The lead was as many as 13 points at one point in this game for the Timberwolves. And all of that spearheaded by Rose, who with the 50 points, he was so dominant throughout so much of this game. Especially if you go, you're looking at it, breaking it down by periods, you're going to the third quarter, 19 points from Rose in the third quarter. You see him in the fourth quarter. He not only hits crucial free throws down the stretch of that game, he also has 15 points in that quarter. He ends up with, math is not as strong, so you're 34, there we go. Took me a second, but 34 points in the final stanza of this game here. And he was so versatile in this game. He was hitting shots from deep, like I said. He was driving to the basket, had tons of shots, had tons of points in the paint. He was getting to the free throw line. He was doing everything that his team needed him to do. He was playing all over the place. He played a huge amount of minutes after coming off the bench the entirety of the season leading up to this game. And while he had great outings from other guys as well, Andrew Wiggins, his first game back after a few games absent, he had 19 points, 60% from deep. Towns, 44% from deep, he had 28 points. You had Josh Okogie looking really good. I know that 10 points doesn't really leap off the scores sheet, especially when you have a 50-point number up there. But he had 10 points, 2 steals, 2 blocks. And everyone played so very well in this game to come together against a tough Utah Jazz opponent. But again, this was Derrick Rose. 31 shots only. 61% shooting. 8 of 11 from the free throw line. This was all Derrick Rose. So let's set the stage, because on a night for Derrick Rose when he's dressing up on Halloween like 2007 or like 2011 Derrick Rose, let's really try and set the stage to really understand what this means, because this was a big moment, not only for the Timberwolves, but for Derrick Rose. So let's take a little trip back, shall we? Let's go back to 2007, when Derrick Rose was in high school, and he was the Mr. Illinois' Man of the Year in high school, and he was averaging 25 points per game. And then he goes to Memphis, and in his college career, in his year there, he has a fantastic season at Memphis. And this is Rambler getting ready for a first-round pick here in college. He's thrown up big numbers. He is in a for a Memphis team that maybe if you're somebody who's in Chicago, maybe you're thinking that they kind of stole him away. You're hoping that he stays in Chicago. Chicago, obviously, a big basketball town. But you have Derrick Rose in Memphis. He's averaging 20.8 points per game, 6.5 rebounds, 6 assists. And he's bringing this Memphis team to a 38-2 season on the year. After that, now remember, there was also the grading controversy going around this time at Memphis. Always the NCAA doing such a good job, keeping a lid on or keeping a lid on all the atrocities and the shady business of the college football they always do such a good job making sure that stuff gets held in check and that stuff is not running rampant. Just kidding, NCAA is terrible at regulating college basketball at all. But you have the grading scandal around the grading controversy around Memphis. But Derrick Rose moves on past that as the number one pick for the Chicago Bulls. He's supposed to be the next era in Chicago Bulls basketball. He's supposed to be the next guy. Obviously, you have the Bulls and their history with Michael Jordan, and then they have some bad years. They're the number one pick. He's supposed to be leading this next era. He's supposed to be the guy to lead them out of poor play back to the style of basketball that Chicago fans had become accustomed to just a few years ago, not all that off into the past. And so Derrick Rose is the next man for that. He gets to the All-Star. He has an All-Star season in just his sophomore year of basketball. And then he's the youngest MVP ever at 22. MVP and the number one seed leading the Bulls into the playoffs. This is all going according to plan. This is all the way it's supposed to be. He's leading them back into basketball relevance. He's the star on a historic franchise. Next year, back in the playoffs, they're starting to look like a perennial problem in the playoffs. Derrick Rose leading them on another fantastic season, 21 points per game in this season, following up his MVP season, and he tears his ACL in the first game of the playoffs against the 76ers. Shot goes through Chicago. What's going to happen to this team? What's this team look like? He has a year absence the next year, but then he comes back. This is the return. This is what everyone's talking about. He's back. He's coming back. He's going to be back 2013-2014 season. He's back. He's back for this one. And then he tears his meniscus. The return is halted. The return is stunted early, stunted before anybody can really, really dive fully into it. He's injured November 22nd, early in the season. So then he's got to come back from another injury. He comes back 14-15. He doesn't return for the season opener, but he's back in this season. He's playing pretty well. He's starting to find that old Derrick Rose. They get back to the playoffs, and they get knocked out of the playoffs, but he was back. And then the final season, he is with the Bulls. You have the orbital bone fracture for Rose, so that keeps him in a face mask for the beginning of the season. You have problems around this team. They're not really. You're wondering if Derrick Rose is still the guy. They end up trading him at the end of the season, and then after the trade to the New York Knicks, he has the case with the sexual assault that he was fighting with him and two friends over the sexual assault case with this woman. He has to battle that out to start out his campaign, to finish out with the Bulls and then start out his campaign with the New York Knicks. This is kind of clouding his season. He's with the Knicks. He's not playing very efficient basketball. And then through the middle of the season. You have that stint where he's just gone. He leaves. He up and leaves. Even his agent doesn't know where he is. He misses some games because he just disappears because of family matters that he has to attend to back in Chicago. And he's just gone. The Knicks don't want to deal with him. He gets traded to the Cavaliers. Same sort of story. He can't really find a rhythm. Can't really. He looks like he might in a couple games. You see some flashes, but then he leaves again. He leaves again. Again, he just doesn't show up. He just disappears and misses games. Just disappears. Cavaliers end up walking away from the Derrick Rose situation. They have a trade where he goes to the Utah Jazz, and the Jazz immediately waive him. And then the Timberwolves pick him up. You see that there might be some flashes from Derrick Rose in the regular season. He only plays a few games. He has the injury. He is a big part of the Houston Rockets game, or the Houston Rockets series in the playoffs. But the Timberwolves really played badly against the Rockets. So any success he has there is overshadowed by that. Now he's entering his 11th season. People are wondering why the Timberwolves decided to re-sign. Why are they keeping around this old guy when Tyus Jones should be getting more minutes? Why are they keeping around a guy who can't recapture that flame that he had so very long ago? He comes into this season. He says he wants to be the sixth man of the year this year. He comes in. He's worked his butt off. And he starts to play really well. Starts to play really good basketball. And then he comes into this game. Jimmy Butler, after an offseason full of controversy, after coming into this season full of controversy, wants to be traded, doesn't want to be on this team. There's so many deals on the table. Timberwolves won't take any of them. Tibbs probably knows that he's going to be out next year, so why would he want to trade his best player anyways? He's not preparing for the future. How does that affect him? They're not trading him. Butler, not even in this game because of all of this drama going on around them, because of all this locker room drama. There's young guys who don't like Jimmy Butler either. That adds to all the stuff going on off the court. But you have a pivotal, pivotal game for the Timberwolves that they need to win to bounce back out of some of these slugfests that they have lost early in the season, out of some an already embarrassing loss early in the season. They need this win, even without Jimmy Butler, even without their starting point guard. In comes Derrick Rose through controversy that has continually followed him throughout his career, through hampering injuries, through star stud campaigns that were drowned in knee injuries, in scandals, in absences. He still comes up, still shows up, and performs with his best career night, and it's capped off with a block that saves the Timberwolves from tying up this game and going to overtime. A game-saving block on Dante Exum as he attempts the corner three. This was Derrick Rose's night. And this shows his perseverance, his fight through all of this. And it shows how much he loves the game, how dedicated he is to basketball. Whatever you think about Derrick Rose, whatever your takes on him as a basketball player, as a person are, no one can deny this was a really special night for a player who has worked really, really hard to still be here and still be around. And this was really cool. And if you didn't enjoy it or appreciate it, hopefully you had recorded. Find somebody who had recorded. Rewatch it. Rewatch it with the right lens on and really appreciate this game for the revamping and the renaissance of a guy who has been constantly put down throughout his career and constantly been sidetracked either on or off the court by various things. To still find this and still have this kind of game at this stage in his career after the injuries that he's had to fight through, it was a special night. And it was really cool that he got to drop 50, that he got to his career best night, and that he was able to make the game-saving play. It was really cool. All right, we're going to get to a break for some sponsors, and then we're going to go over what this game meant for the Timberwolves before we head out here. First, some sponsors. So, I talked about this before. This was a really important game for the Timberwolves heading into this game. Again, Jimmy Butler was not going to be there. he might be gone for a little bit too. He might have an absence. This, it might be more than just a rest like they labeled it. Jeff Teague talking before the game, you heard him say you're not sure if this game is going to be one where he is kind of held out for a ways or if he is going to be able to bounce back quickly. You're not really sure on that injury status yet for him. So this was an important game because you're going on a five-game West Conference road trip. We talked about this before we got into the season, that this is going to be an early challenge right away, this West Coast road trip. And you're about to end this home stint. You grabbed a win against the Lakers. You got to grab wins when you're at home when you can, especially before you go on a long road trip. They need this win. They're losing guys, but they still really need to grab this win. And they're going up against a tough playoff opponent in the Utah Jazz. It was super important not only to get this team refocused. You saw how excited they were for Derrick Rose. You saw how this team came together. I was listening to an interview that Brian Windhorst of ESPN did before I watched this game last night, and he was talking about how he was there for the Timberwolves home opener or for the Timberwolves first win. And he was talking about how it felt like they lost because after the game, they were in and out of the locker room so quick. Jimmy Butler was the only one who hung around the locker room. Everyone else was out of there in like 90 seconds. It was his words, what he was saying when he was in the locker room. And it was such a weird atmosphere for a team that just won and such a weird feel for this team. And you hate to say it because he's the best player still on this team, but when Jimmy Butler was gone and when he was gone, this team was able to find a win. You had so many of these pieces chipping in, working well together, but you also had a real camaraderie. This team really came around each other. They really rallied. They really pulled the wagons. Encircled up the wagons and found a victory. You could see the unity they had around Derrick Rose, around each other in a game that really was crucial and pivotal for them. You saw them celebrating in the locker room afterwards. Is it fair to say, I mean, I don't think Derrick Rose even has the opportunity or the minutes to drop 50, but is it fair to say a big win like that, a tight victory against an opponent like Utah, is celebrated when Jimmy's there? I just think it's a different atmosphere. I think Towns and Wiggins are so out on Jimmy Butler that there's a constricted nature around this locker room when Jimmy's there. And so it was good to see them let loose, play free-flowing basketball, see them play together as a unit, see them play dominating right away. You knew they were going to give up that lead. You knew they were going to give up that lead. You knew they, I said going into this game, you had to survive some runs and you had to weather some storms because their defense isn't good enough. So you knew they were going to give up that lead, but them getting that lead was crucial. Obviously, in a three-point game, every point is crucial, but them being able to weather that storm, them being able to come back, keep hitting shots, coming back at the Jazz, shooting so well, but also finding enough inside, making sure you're keeping your offense versatile, not being married to one style to try and win this game. It was all important, and it was a couple big nights from a lot of players and a really special night from Derrick Rose and a really important victory for a team that is about to embark on a really tough road trip. So very important game, really great result, really fun watch. And I would encourage to watch again. I actually watched the game again this morning before doing the show. And it's a fantastic game. And again, congratulations to Derrick Rose. Fantastic outing from him. Hopefully the Timberwolves can keep some of this magic going as they head out west. Thank you guys so much for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.